Without much ado, I'm going to hand over to the CEO of DOE and the CFO to take us through the second quarter performance report.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members. Just quickly, I have with me the CFO, which I'm sure most of you have met. And next to me is our Chief Director of Communications. The public participation falls under her chief directorate, so she'll be taking us through that. The DG has forwarded an apology to the secretariat. Unfortunately, with all the discomfort, she has the foresight meeting in preparation for COP 17, which she really needed to attend. So, apologies from her. I think what we can do now is that the CFO to take us through the information. And then after that, with my money, then what technology is missed, can be my money, she take us through the CCP, and then we'll share the responses afterwards. Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Chair. I think the introduction part we have been through in the past presentation. So I'm going to skip right to the first quarter and the second quarter performance to allow for more discussion and presentation in that part. We have presented the first quarter a few months back, and now it's the second quarter that ended September 2011. And to highlight here, the budget allocation for the department was $6.089 billion. It has now moved and increased to $6.199 billion. And that was mainly due to the rollover of $28.2 million. Unforeseen and unavoidable, we received another $21 million, which was approved specifically for the NNR, the National Nuclear Regulator, which was to bridge the gap that was created by the PVMR project. The actual spending for this quarter has improved. The first quarter was 12.5, and it's now sitting at 46.6, although slightly less, but it will improve in the third quarter because lots of the expenses have been committed. A notable increase in the spending, however, the transfer payment has moved from 11.7% to 46.2%. It was due to the acceleration in the IMEX program and the business quarter. It was 11.7%. It's now sitting at 46.2. There has been a remarkable increase due to the IMEX program that is accelerated. And in this present slide, it is the variances by economic classification, by which I mean there are four categories. That's the compensation of staff, where all our salaries fall, goods and services, where all our operating expenses, transfers to state-owned enterprises and subsidies, municipalities, falls under transfers and subsidies, and then payments for capital assets. I will, however, take you through each and every one of them by program, but the one that needs, I think, the department should have spent about $3 billion here, and it's only sitting at 2.8, and the reason is some of the spending has been committed, but not yet paid for. And there are also other reasons for that understanding. Spending has not happened as planned due to the late approval of office accommodation by DPW. The spending in capital assets is also a bit low in this quarter for both the quarters, mainly because we've inherited a lot of assets from EDI when they closed their operations. Instead of spending money on capital equipment, we have now used the equipment that we inherited from EDI. However, the money will be spent when we relocate our offices. That's the new office accommodation, which will be early New Year. This slide is an overview by program. It just gives you an overview, but per program, I will go into the detail. That is by economic classification. That's your salaries, goods and services, transfers, and capital per program, which has been requested by the PPP committee the last time. And here, all I want to say is the first program, it should have spent 31%. From 41%, it spent 59.8%. It has overspent. The next one, energy policy and planning, should have spent 50% and spent only 25%. The next one, energy regulation, spent 9.6%. It should have spent 40%. National electrification program is as projected. And the last one, nuclear energy and regulation, the expenses is as projected. The first program, administration. The budget that was available, that's cumulative for this quarter, was 174. We spent 104. We have spent more than we should have. And the main reason for the overspend is 13.5 million was paid to NERT, which was the ex-EDI program, which was the department's obligation to pay. It fell within this financial year, unfortunately. The office accommodation, we received 7 million from National Treasury, but our actual expenses for the year is 28 million. So hence, part of that overspend is within these two quarters as well. And that's the biggest part of the overspend. Under transfers and subsidies, you might find an underspend, but this is not to the state-owned enterprises or municipalities. It's for our payroll-related transfers. And the last one, capital assets. It's a low expenditure, but as I stated, we didn't spend much money on the assets because we inherited a lot from EDI. Much of this money will still be used for our move to the new office accommodation, which happens in the new year. And so the administration covers the CEO, the COO's office, the CFO, corporate services, and the ministry, and the DG's office. Program 2, energy policy and planning. The projected spend for the program was 50%, but it only spent 25.3%. The underspending is mainly due to performance within the transfer payment area. It's under the transfer payment. 97% of the program's total budget goes to Transnet as part funding for the petroleum pipeline. The quarter that just ended, 375 million, was not transferred to Transnet purely because the memorandum of understanding needed to be adjusted. Memorandum of agreement, sorry, meant to be adjusted. The adjustment was due to a shortcoming that was detected at the last financial year end. The money that gets paid over to Transnet is dependent on money from National Treasury. If National Treasury does not give us the money, that money will not be transferred because it's not the department's obligation. It's part of a government-wide initiative. So that was a change that needed to be incorporated into the memorandum of agreement. And that's the delay. It's not that it's not going to be paid. It will be paid. And the underspend has been seen yet, but in the third quarter, it should come right. That's all under Program 2. Program 3, energy regulation. The program should have spent about 43%. It only spent 9.6% by 30th of September, which is serious underspend. And the reason for the underspending, 90% of the budget in this program is earmarked for specific projects and the implementing entities. The disbursement to these implementing agencies and projects should have been standing at 42%, and the actual spending is only 9.6%. This is due to performance in the following. Eskom and municipality, that is for energy planning day. And the main reason here is municipalities are not adhering to contractual obligations. that is not submitting signed contracts, business plans are not submitted timely or they're submitted incomplete, and Eskom also had an issue with the water quality in some municipalities. Those are some of the reasons that the expenditure did not happen as planned. EDI also contributed to the transfer that's so lonely. We do have the money for EDI, which we have not transferred, as we're waiting for the wind-up process to be completed, but the money will be transferred, as the monies are required for the wind-up expenditure, which is still being incurred at the moment. Working for Energy has been affected by a delay in finalizing the memorandum of agreement with Sanedi as an implementing agent. The department also requested funders program to reclassify 16 million from the 27 million that was allocated to it, and the process is almost concluding in that way. Program 4, National Electrification Program. The expenses is exactly as projected on this one. So there is all of the economic classifications are exactly as budgeted, the expenses did occur accordingly. Program 5, Nuclear Energy and Regulation. Here as well, the expenditure is as projected. 97% of the program's allocation goes to implementing agents, and those monies have been transferred accordingly. And that's all on this slide. These are the major cost drivers for the last quarter that ended 30th September 2011. Consulting and professional services, we had an expenses of 19 million. Travel and expenses of 18, operating expenses of 10 billion, lease expenses, venues and facilities. Under travel and subsistence, it includes international and local travel, the accommodation expenses, or subsistence as well, that's being charged. Operating payments are our operating expenses for the department. Under lease payments, we cover all the equipment, our accommodation, all other contractual work that we lease, and a lot of this equipment is for our printers and IT equipment. Venues and facilities is for all the functions and conferences that are held by the department. Under the performance overview, there has been an internal adjustment. The department started the current financial year with a budget allocation of 6.089 billion. Critical obligations, which were not catered for within the baseline, there were some environments and adjustments made to cover critical obligations. A total of 7.27 million was redirected to Program 1 to enable the payment by NERD. That is the ex-EDI project. A rollover, the National Treasury approved a rollover of 88.2 million. It was from the 2010-11 financial year, and this was for committed expenses that occurred in the last financial year but paid in this current financial year of 2011-12. Unforeseeable and unavoidable expenditure, we managed to motivate two National Treasury for an additional 21.1 million, and it goes towards NNR to bridge the funding gap created by the loss of authorization fees as a result of the closure of PBMR project. The net effect of the above adjustments is an adjusted appropriation of now our budget sits at 6.199 billion. The above increase will total to a 6.2 billion, but the small difference of 1.6 million will only be made available for salary increases, which is specific only. Under the actual performance, the department has disbursed a total of 2.9 billion, or 46.6% of its adjusted appropriation, as set to September 2011. The total value of committed expenditure excluded in the above is 11.9 million. That is that we've issued purchase orders out, we've committed money, but just not paid for those expenses as yet. And they could be for various reasons. Services have not been rendered or still to happen. Compensation of employees, a total of 90.9 million, or 50% of the available appropriation, has been utilized. The department's spending trend is in line with the available budget. This is even before the additional funding of 1.6 million for the increase. So under compensation, we are on par so far. Goods and services, the total actual expenditure amounts to 75.7 million. That is 59.9% of the total 2011-12 budget. The spending in this area has been negatively affected by unfunded mandates. And some of these mandates are 75% of the office accommodation, which was not budgeted for, or budget has not been allocated by National Treasury. It has been requested, but not awarded by National Treasury. So it became an unfunded mandate. National Energy Response Team, that's the NAP, which I spoke about. Corp 17, this is an unbudgeted project in the department and has to be funded for the activities that's been undertaken by the Department of Energy. And we estimated it to be around 2.7 million. The African Energy Ministers Conference, although we received a number of sponsorships and assistance financially in this regard, the department also had to undertake some of its own obligations within the department. The public participation program, here as well, the department is expected to have many of these programs. There's a mandated figure, and my colleague will be speaking about that a bit later. And then we've also had international membership fees, which is not budgeted for. The approved structure was not fully funded. Pardon me.
I apologize for bringing the chair late, but unfortunately we were delayed with very important business, which I can safely assure you is taken care of. I opened myself up for that.
The major cost drivers within the department are mainly due to the unfunded mandates, which I've explained. Consultants and professional expenses, services. The year-to-date total of 19 million includes the amount, it should have been 13 million, not 15.8, which was paid to the NASH, that was Komodo. The department could only source within the department 7.27 million, the balance has to be also sourced. Operation payments include membership fees, notably the IAEA, for an amount of 9.8 million. Approximately 8 million has been made available from the rollover amount from Treasury. The major cost drivers continued, lease payments. The department was allocated 7 million for office accommodation, but the actual cost for the 12 months for DOE is 28 million. This resulted in 21 million being unfunded. However, we managed to do a buy-in from one of our programs to assist us with the reclassification, to assist us with this unfunded money. Then with the facilities, cover and subsistence, the costs were affected by the expenditure incurred on the African Energy Ministers Conference and the public participation event, which will be spoken to a bit later by my colleagues. Transfer payments. The movement in the transit payments category was slower than anticipated in the first quarter. This, however, improved in the second quarter. A total of 2.7 million was transferred from the yesterday total, available benchmark drawing of 3 billion rand. Total transfers made to 46.2% of the total adjusted funds. Due to a number of reasons, no transfers were focused, although budgeted for, to the following: EEDFM, the Eskom and municipalities, Sanedi, Working for Energy, Redstone, the original allocation, Transfer Pipeline, the second quarter transfer. But that, a slide, so the next slide actually, which will give us the breakdown, and which I'll be able to speak to on each of them. Working for Energy, the actual expenditure for the year is still sitting at zero, the last column. And as mentioned before, transfers could not be made as planned due to the delay in finalizing the agreement with Sanedi as the implementing agent. So that's the reason for the bill expenditure in the last column. I'm going to speak about all the ones that have a no transfer first, and then I'll speak about the others. The second one is EDFM to Eskom. Transfer pipeline. The transfer pipeline, due to the projected negotiations in the second quarter, was withheld. So 375 million will still be transferred to Transnet, but it's just delayed for now until the MOA has been finalized. And EDFM to municipalities. No transfers were made during this quarter, mainly due to the following reasons. The challenge experienced by the department has been on municipalities not complying to contractual obligations and arrangements. And among them are not submitting the required business plan, not submitting the signed contract. The department has convened one-on-one meetings with the municipalities just to assist in this regard. This resulted in the first quarter process only being processed, the payments being processed in September. So the first quarter, we managed to have meetings with the municipalities, and these transfers could only take place in the second quarter because we managed to move the paperwork. And the last one is EDI. We still do have the money of the 11 million in the department. It will only be transferred, I think, in the next month when the wind-up process has been concluded. So that is under the transfers for now. The department has been able to operate with minimum resources, however challenging at times. Some of our projects and events had to be sourced from other areas, and the state-owned enterprises have also assisted in this regard. This has, however, necessitated a continuous review of our baseline to establish slow spend and redirecting these budgets to more critical areas. The department has undertaken to do this quite regularly. The department has forwarded a proposal to National Treasury to reclassify funds for RESCO and Working for Energy, the total of 57.32 million. These funds will be directed towards the major unfunded items, which I mentioned earlier on, one of them being the accommodation for our office.
Thank you once again, Ms. Nandri. Once again, apologies. I just got entangled with the meeting at Strasbourg. Maybe I should learn how to pray to you once again, even if it's against my organization. Because these meetings, they drive on and on and on. You know, unless we fight to get the list every day. But in any case, honourable members, you had the opportunity to listen to the presentation, Section 32 financial reports for the headquarter, isn't it? Second quarter. Over to members. Punga. trying to check. Maybe we should be able to appreciate the report in the chatting. It really is a quite a state of the affairs of the department. Maybe my first question would be saying, as you said, you have very serious financial challenges. If you can be able to also outline maybe of the SOEs that you just mentioned that they've assisted in terms of subsidizing the government program, and how much have they, you know, committed? Because if it's one of those SOEs that, you know, account and ask, and be able also, when they come and submit their reports, you know, be able to take note of those aspects, so must be able to be aware of such. Ella, you mentioned that you spend about 46% of the budget, and which it was not expected to do so. It's supposed probably to move around the, you know, about 50% of your budget of the yearly spending. But you said, but what has been done is that you've committed certain funding. If you can be able to outline, to say you've committed this funding in terms of which programs, so that you can be able to be alert in terms of, you know, assisting and knowing that if these programs are not being implemented in the financial aid, when you come and account to us, you know, must be able to check why, you know, because you said to us you're committed. The other question refers to the transfers that are going to Transnet. I want to get an understanding that if the treasury is in, you know, finance or is in transfer any amount, what is the impact thereof in terms of the service delivery? Because we must be able also to also link that with service delivery, because if the treasury doesn't transfer finances, which has agreed to transfer, must be able to know. But what was the reason, and also what how does it impact in terms of the issue of the service delivery? And thank you, Chief.
I just need a little more clarity on the 21 million that was additional allocation to NC towards NNR to bridge the funding gap created by the loss of authorization fees. I'm thinking if there's a loss of authorization fees, it means that there's no work done. Well, I just need some clarity so I could understand it more. And then the other one was the department allocated $7 million for the office accommodation lease, and the actual cost of this lease amounted to $28 million. I just need to understand that.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Ms. Chairperson. I can see that you're hands-on. And
congratulating for that.
Ms. Chetty, I see here on nuclear there's an available budget of 64.7, and you spent, or it is the expected one, the 89.92. Can I have a clarity on that one, please? The other one is about the municipalities not complying. What's happening now? Are they complying? Have they got the qualifications of doing this so that you must meet the every time? Then you look like the department is not working correctly, and yet you've got an obstacle in front of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is a short comment. up on what Mama Tiga just alluded to in relation to the spending on municipalities. I would appreciate that maybe in future we should have a list of those municipalities that are not complying, because it could signal other problems somewhere else. It might be a symptom of something. Also, we need to be given a bit of clarity on why Eskom is complaining about the water quality. If you don't have the answer now, it's something that you can be able to discuss later. Whether it's the purification, are they complaining about the effectiveness of the purification plants of municipalities, or where does the problem arise? I think for me, that's the main comment, because you are alluding to the fact that the transfers could not be effective because of lack of submission of business plans and signed local contracts on time. So I think it, for us, we would be interested in understanding where the problem arises.
Thank you, Chair. Ms. Chetan said COP17 was not budgeted for, and now funds have to be allocated to the COP17. Now, I don't know why it's not budgeted, because you and us all knew long ago that this conference will be coming. So why is it not budgeted for?
Very good question. How about you, Mom?
Thank you, Chair. I'll answer the last question first, because it answers a number of unfunded mandates as well. Unfortunately, ma'am, we do have a baseline that has been, we do have a baseline budget, which is a very mean one, really down to the marrow, if I can put it that way. And we are still expected over and above on that mandate to incorporate anything additional we want to do. Although we've known about COP17, there's no additional funding for it. We've got to make do within the existing baseline. And that's where we, at times, have to rely on savings, environment, adjustments, reclassifications to assist the department. And yes, we do also rely on other financial aid where necessary. We look at additional funding from other sources, state-owned enterprises, what they could assist with, just to help the budget. But this holds true for many areas within the budget. That although we know about it, we've requested the budget, but we just didn't get the money. But we have to have COP17, we have to contribute. And so that's it. Under ESCOM, I will ensure that the question is answered, and I'll bring it forward the next time. I see there was many questions around the municipalities in terms of spending. I will also provide at the next presentation a list of municipalities who have not complied with paperwork or any contract. I'll even give you the reasoning thereof, so that this assists with going forward. Spending on the municipalities and how we are assisting the department, assisting these municipalities. The Department of Energy has taken it upon themselves to assist these municipalities where there have been problems. If we could assist with their paperwork or help guide them in the right direction, the department has done that. So as much as you may not see the spending that has happened, that should have happened, first quarter and second quarter that I should have shown you now, you're only seeing one quarter, because the first quarter there were still backlinks to come to get the feet on the ground. And I think going forward we'll see a little bit of sort of management of the municipalities as well. And if I think if I produce the list, it will also assist the department as well. In terms of nuclear, they're available of 64.7 million. The money has been is still available yet, but committed funds. Much of this money has been committed already. However, this program, the spending is exactly as projected, so they're not underspending for now, unless the committed funds there's been change of plans. But for now, it's exactly as projected. The lease expenditure, we did request a bigger budget for the lease accommodation, but National Treasury only allocated 7 million, which is not realistic because our actual expenditure is 28. And that could have been seen from our past year, what we spent as well. But due to budget constraints and cuts at National Treasury, the department is also subject to that slash of funds. But the shortfall now has been made good by a reclassification. We've managed to help ourselves within the bank. There was another question on the 21.
Yeah. Is that the 21 million?
21 million allocation to NNR. I think my colleague would be able to assist in that one. Transfers to Transnet. This way, I just need to explain. There's a contract between the department and National Treasury where 4.5 billion will be made available over 3 years. 1.5 billion per year for every financial year for 3 years. But the agreement states that the money will be transferred from Treasury to the department, and the department will, as a conduit, pass on these funds to Transnet after it does its oversight function. And my problem at year-end, and why I felt the MOA needed to be adjusted, should the funding not become available or be made available by National Treasury, is the department now obligated to pay these funds, which is already from a budget that is very small? So that is why the memorandum of understanding is being adjusted. But to answer the question, what happened to service delivery? When I've seen that agreement, it seems National Treasury has made that commitment that they will give us that money. And that funds are earmarked already. So I even see it in the national estimate. It's already put in for the next 3 years. That's the last year that's available next year. So that money is earmarked and it's already in that baseline budget. So I don't think they're going to renege on that one. Okay, the 46% and the remaining 5% that's unspent in terms of commitment. Unfortunately, I don't have the breakdown right now, but I can respond. I can give it to you by Conway. And the last one, previous financial challenges. And I mentioned sometimes the state-owned enterprises did assist us. Yes, that is true. But whenever we did ask for assistance from state-owned enterprises, it went by the COO's office, and it was for specific projects and functions or events, and which the state-owned enterprises agreed to assist the department. And those expenses are also subject to audit in the state-owned enterprises financial statement. So it's been accounted for in the state-owned enterprises and in the department as well under expenditure. So in both places, it is being accounted for of what the money is being used for. And they both are subject to audit. I'm not sure if I answered that. Okay, my colleague will assist on the stair. We'll use one example, maybe the African Energy Ministers Conference. My colleague could assist with it. Thank you, Chair. I think on the issue of facilities, what the policy or the practice that has been adopted by this department is that it's not like there are, it's not like a contribution or donation, it's more like a partnership arrangement. In other words, the question that they first ask before they forward the money to us or anything that you are asking partnership for is what's in it for them. In other words, most of what you are doing with them, like she said, the partnership into the African Energy Ministers Conference, even within COP17 itself, they have contributed towards that. That's why our bill has come down, because originally it was going to be about 3.5 million or so. So we've got contributions from them, which is about 800,000 at the moment, where they are paying for things like the exhibition stand, because they also are going to be exhibiting, paying for the space. They will pay for things like some material that we use for marketing material at the conference, because they will be part of it themselves. In other words, we're not going to be putting forward just the MSPD, the department is also exhibiting there as well. So most of what we do with them, the public education program, they participate in there because it's part of their thing as well. Public education is part of their responsibility as well. So what we're focusing on is to have areas where they have an interest themselves. Petrol SA has done a number of programs which are belong to them, in most important cases like the schools that have been building, the classrooms that have been, computer programs that have been putting in the content. There's one program they have started which is somewhere in Kundumata in Ganja. Those are the programs that are doing in the community. But of course, because we are the parent department, then we get involved in that as well. So it's not just government business like them to paying our salaries or paying for our housing and things like that. It's areas that they have also identified in their own plan in terms of what they want to contribute to. On the issue of the NNR and the 21 million, I think if members would remember, when NNR presented their annual report, one of the things they noted was that they are, over the past 2 years, their money that comes from Treasury has been decreasing a lot. And the basis for NNR is funding. They get a small percentage from the FICA. The balance comes from the authorization fee. So what has happened is that with the decrease that has been happening, the way Treasury works, they can't just out in the middle of a year or in the middle of an NTF period come up with something new. They always want to relate it to something in the past which has been introduced at the beginning of the NTF period. So when they started decreasing for the 3 years, starting from last year, those 3 years, they were banking on the 21 million coming from the PBMR. So when that came off, for the general operations of NNR, they put a very big dent, because that 21 million does not only relate to the work they're going to be doing within the PBMR program. It actually covers the rest of the work of the NNR, because that's where their source of funding comes from. So whether they did the NNR work or the PBMR work or not, unfortunately it doesn't make any significant change in the fact that they needed the 21 million. So the agreement was, because Treasury doesn't just increase your baseline to the mix of the empty of period. So what? When we presented to them the challenges, also being the fact that one of the unforeseen circumstances for NNR was that when they accepted the budget at the time, it was unforeseen that PBMR was going to be closed. They were told during the process. So Treasury then had to refund them for that amount of money to act. It's more of an operational cost, operational funding, not just for them to do the PBMR work only. So that was the issue of saying that because we understand that you need more money because of this cut that we have done with Central Treasury, and also the decisions have been taken by government to do our PBMR, they will reconsider them more funding than for the mandate that they will receive from the PBMR process. On the issue of the municipal assistance, just to add on that, what the department had about just a year ago, especially when we're still within the DME environment, we started a program which we could afford as a department, where we had about, I think the budget was about just a million rand a year. We took students, graduates, engineers, and we had about 100 of them per year. We will take those students and place them in all the ailing municipalities to assist them as interns. So what the department, what we used to pay them the internship, which was about 5,000 rand or so per month, to try and assist those. And some of them, they got permanent employment within those municipalities, some of them they came back to the department, some of them got jobs somewhere else. So we've been doing that program now until we moved to DOE. Unfortunately, we had serious financial challenges within DOE, so we stopped the program. What has happened now is that the CETA, the energy CETA, has actually promised us that as from next year, they're going to give us the money that we need to restart the program again. So it's part of the assistance that you are giving to the municipality. Because within the department, we are sort of managing those students, those interns within the municipalities themselves in terms of assisting. If we've got a problem, like she was saying, that where they've got a problem in dealing with the reporting or information that we need. So we take those students back to the department, we train them, we send them back to say, you go and sort the thing out within the municipality. So that's what we're hoping to. Unfortunately, for the past 2 years, we couldn't do it. So next year, we're starting again with the CETA mandate that they've committed to us. in the COP 17, I think the CFOS has explained the reason why we have not budgeted for it. Because it's been very difficult for the department to add anything. Because if you remember, when we started, the budget that was given to DOE when DOE started was only confirmed in March, and while we were going independent the 1st of April. So our communication with Treasury to say, let us have a realistic baseline as a new department that is starting now, went through right through the December holidays, but the final decision was only given to us in March. So we had a very, very weak and shaky starting point as a department. And all the money that we had at the time had to be allocated to priorities at that time. So when COP 17 came, they say prioritize within your own budget. And the expectation was nothing at the end of the day. And it's not just one of those. This is one of the examples that I'm trying to put forward. So we end up with a situation where there is just nothing. We couldn't even budget for it, because the money that we had was just enough for us to hold our head above the water, literally. That's what is happening. That's why we have to constantly partner with our SOEs to say, guys, how much can you support us here? Because it's just getting more and more and more difficult. What the DG has done, for instance, recently was to talk to Treasury in terms of the money that we have, to say, can we go and reclassify as we reprioritize? Because as the chairperson remembers, last week we had our midterm review process, where we are trying to balance our performance results the first 6 months to our financial performance, to look at what needs to be prioritized within the last 6 months of the year. What is it that we feel we might not be able to do well, either because of human resource capacity or any other delay that is happening in the system, to try and avoid that. But at the end of the year, we have money that has not been utilized. Fortunately, Treasury has supported that, because some of the time they always say that if you reclassify, it's like you don't know what you're doing. But we're putting the reasons in front of them, say these are the reasons we are not able to do that, because we are constantly prioritizing in the department. It's like something that we do almost every quarter. We'll sit down and say, okay, then this happens and what happens. Do we keep it or don't we keep it? To try and balance what is going on with the funding of the department and assuring the programs that we have committed to put forward in terms of our plans for the year. Thank you, Chair.
It's not really a question so much as I don't know what we can do as a committee to assist the department, because clearly what's happened in the splitting up of the department and the funding stuff has created a really onerous burden for the department. I must say it's highly unsatisfactory, and I'm not blaming the department. I want to be very clear about this. But we can't talk about energy being a priority and all this stuff, make all these commitments, and then, you know, they have to basically be treated like a spaza shop. You know, run. It's really, you know what I'm saying? There's on the one hand there's all these words and commitments, but when it comes to funding these things, we don't see that follow through. So, I'm just putting it there, that how do we as a committee assist them? What can we do other than just making a big noise?
You know, like physics. We can take a starting point in the Department of Energy. Or let me turn to the Unified Ministry. I've just run my eyes through. Because I hope our budget review report will be submitted formally to the Department of Energy. One of the things that comes out very clearly in our findings and conclusions in the report, and even the recommendations, is that the increase of an incorrect base to the loss base line for the department must be addressed. comes out very clearly there that the Auditor General of the state is taking a different, this is a different thing, but it takes 70% of and if I'm safe, I'm going to look at the bottom of the I'm going to say it's peaceful, but you say it's fundamental. That's the question. Now, you're saying that when you negotiate with the National Treasury, they keep on asking why do you have to justify it. Now, the question that then I have, and maybe it's a good question or a naive question, is that how can they say that when they were part of the facilitation of the negotiations of the 37th split? I guess in my mind I'm wrong. Unless somebody I'm missing and I'm factually incorrect. Because if they were part of facilitating that separation and they sort of oversee or presided over the 37th split, surely when you come to them and negotiate in the environment that they call it, isn't it? Then they should remember, you know, the history. In any case, remember, according to the budget of the cycle, that once the report is submitted, it lands on the desk of the Committee of Appropriations. It also goes to the National Treasury. So, Honorable Jackson and all other members, we're going to have a bite, but we need to prepare ourselves. Go to your notes, take your minutes, Mamu Zunga, and everything. Because we will have a little bit of a justice. If energy is really a vital component of transformation of the country, both economical and social, and then we should see that reflecting, you know, in reverse allocation. I'm sure we don't say we wanted the Department of Human Resources in Europe, but we just want to see that the department, when we criticize them for not performing, they shouldn't come back and say we don't have the resources. Well, of course, we have to say it's not a bad starting point for my side, whether I should be asking questions or things. But it's just that if this issue keeps on coming, surely from my side as a chair, and the whole members of the committee here, the team, we need something to reach a point whereby we start to trigger a process whereby we engage with the Committee for Appropriation and we engage with National Treasury and say, look, we're going to start negotiating or addressing this matter and go through that process, torturous and painful as it will be, until we come to some form of conclusion. I'm sure none of us would know what conclusion is going to be, but there must be some form of conclusion, one way or another. That's your question from my side as well. Apologies up front, because I wasn't around. Page 23, make reference to slow spend and critical ICM. What do you mean by that? Then, NERT, the National Energy Response Team Unit, what were they doing, this unit? Would there be any rationale or a good one too that at some stage you invite them to share with us what they do? Remember, but I just want to highlight that the African Energy Minister's Conference, I'm sure it would be helpful at some stage to have a briefing on that. And we should look into which other committees can we invite. It was a very brilliant conference. I said, Honorable Professor there, Matibela, Honorable Friday, it was a very, very brilliant. When you see, you know, the champions of energy throughout Africa, sharing what each country is really trying to do. I wish we could
be able to listen yourself if someone says DVD or anything like that. That commitment, let alone the fact and the programs themselves. So I would like us to keep that in mind, Secretary, so that the Secretary is in next year. Get it this thing around here. Or, tell the way we do the program. In page 19, you make reference to, in page 15, you make reference to unfunded money. How much is that in data? And page 19, the statement says the major cost drivers within this department are mainly due to unfunded money. It could have been fine if you just said some of the activities are mainly due to unfunded money. Now you say major cost drivers. I think maybe what makes me a little dumb is when you say when it's major. Can you just elaborate on that so that we see it? Somewhere you make reference that there were no transfers. Oh yeah, page 21. There were no transfers, although budgeted for. I think Eskom and the municipality is quite clear. None of that talk, but I think that has been explained in the past. It might be just some repetition. Let's not waste time. I'm sorry, quite sure. Although with Transnet, we should get something different, because it's not the first time that he comes up. Think of the money. In the previous Section 32 report, it still was in there. Now, the question that may come is this pipeline focus a little slow or moving at speed? That's just in terms of cooperation. Because there are some states would like to see the pipeline completed. May sound naive, but still allow the honourable members to ask this question. Why was only 7 million rand allocated for the city? Okay. I mean, at the end of the day, no matter how much limits the funds are, as staff, you've got to have offices. I'm sorry about the card, I'm just looking at it in a very naive way. I mean, as staff, even if parting is abnormal, you could have 7, but have offices. Now, if you allocate 7 million rand in terms of 21, I'm asking you deliberately because I'm sure when we connect you to the Committee for Appropriations and whatever, we'll ask these questions again. Surely something must be sorted out. And at the same time, you see people on the street joining, around the city. And the department is supposed to, handle that, getting here. Unless we're still missing something somewhere. But let's prepare ourselves. And we've got to ask these penetrative questions so that we do have as much accurate tests as we before we go and engage with the powers that be. Another question is projection. I don't know whether are we midway now in the current financial year? Mm-hmm. And what are your projections in terms of what the expenditure is? I shouldn't be asking you this, I should be getting someone in. But let me ask for now. Let me ask you people for now. The reason why this got a little force with us. So, this is sort of a rehearsal of this sort of repetitive question, which will come time and again. Let's have a sense. I see reference was made somewhere. Now,
that's the problem of written stuff, right? Writing something Arabic. But if this common person being spent, I didn't read it correctly, it was just a right, but this rightfully true. That's it, I think. That's in terms of the self-financial aspect. Give us some projections. Will you be able to get your 95% expenditure by March next year? If yes, what needs to be done? Impartial, but still it needs to be done. Whatever way you share that, those projections is that Peter. I'm reading Peter for somebody. So he spoke of working with Peter on training. Sometime next year, as part of our program, just in a way, we'll pull the Peter back and we'll handle the issue of training. So keep that issue of race in mind. We may not handle it in truth at this stage in time. But for now, if you could just help us on the outstanding questions, thank you.
Thank you, Chief. I think the 7 million, I think history of the 30 cities that is going to be here for a while with that 7 million. But the additional 21 million that was short has now been made available by Treasury via a reclassification of money that belongs to the Department of Energy. So we've taken it from one of our programs that was slow moving, and we asked Treasury, although this is earmarked funds, can it be reclassified to assist us with the shortfall in leases? That's what happened. But I think going forward, now that the National Treasury can actually see the expenses for the Department of Energy for office accommodation is 28 million. So definitely now they can't give it 50% of the budget. I think the 30-70 split has had its repercussions, and it's going to be around for a little while till we bring each figure up to date. I think that on the 7 million is more or less what the explanation there is. The projections chair, yes, it is being done, and unfortunately line function is not here, but we're anticipating to spend, and we actually don't want to return any money back to Treasury. I think that has been made known by the DG, and I think the committee has also said it's anachronous about us returning funds. We are going to make every effort to have all our funds being spent. I think the challenge would be transfers to state-owned enterprises and municipalities. We're hoping with the the steps that we've taken would assist us in this regard. And I think at the next quarter I'd be able to also give you the projection of what we anticipate to finish the financial year. And the 46% that I spoke of earlier on, yes, the department should have spent at least 51% of their budget as it said to the chairperson. The system that's not spent, some of the funds have been committed. I think it's about 11.9 million that has already been committed. Any unspent funds before year end, every effort will be made to ensure that the money goes to the right places and the right programs. And where programs that are slow moving and earmarked funds that are not being used, I think that channel now has been opened to Treasury for us to use those money and put a proper motivation so we can have some of those funds be classified. But Treasury is a bit strict on those rules, but we have tried. The DG has also engaged the DG at National Treasury to assist in this regard. So I think every effort has been made to not to give them any money as specified. And I think one area that I did cover in my presentation, the slow-moving area, was CapEx. And we have inherited a lot of assets worth millions from EDR. Hence, we tried not to spend more money on things that we've already inherited. The money is being kept for our relocation to the new office of building. So that's a slow-moving area, which contributed to most of the 5%. And the other part that contributed was transfer, which I've spoken about. But hopefully in the third quarter when I present, we present a little better picture. And on page 18, chamber made reference to the unfunded mandates. I can't give you the exact figures offhand, but I know some of them. Office of accommodation, 21 million is the shortfall. NASH was 13 million. COP 17, we anticipate to spend 2.7 or probably the good end of budget. And international membership fees, I can remember one of them at 9.8 million. IAEA. That's all that I have at the moment, Chair. On page 19, we refer to my terminology. The major cost drivers within the department are mainly due to unfunded mandates. Maybe I should have reworded it. It's unfunded, so it does increase those cost drivers. If I didn't have these unfunded mandates, it would be within budget. So sometimes you find in the month of August, as an example, I'd have huge expenditure for maybe the African Energy Ministers Conference, which wouldn't have been there if I didn't have the function. So it's unfunded, so those expenses do hit the income statement immediately and you see the effect straight away in my financial results. So I think next time I'll do work because the unfunded mandate contributed to the cost drivers, and I'll show you how, if I could perhaps make it more clearer in that discussion. But I note your concerns.
Chair, the issue of the 30-7 dispute is a very emotional issue that is now on the personal list because of the fight we had when we split. If persons would remember... Sorry?
Is that fight?
Oh, yes, within the department.
When the divorce happened.
Yeah, when the divorce, exactly.
Yeah, when the divorce
happened from our parents, the ME, DOE has always been historically, if members, all of them doesn't remember, historically the energy part of the ME has been the third chance.
Yes.
When I joined the department in 1999, forecast at that time during Minister Pungilin Lambos, Dr. Matuna, then Pungilin Lambos, 10, focus was on mining. The resources that we had as a department were focusing on mining. We had the NPRCA, we had all of that thing that we did over the travel, everything was focusing on implementing that act. So when we split, the split that they didn't say for you to split or to cut anything, you need to have some meat. You cannot cut a skeleton, you have to have some meat. To beef up the skeleton and then you cut. They said the budget that you have as DME is all that you're going to have going forward. Forgetting that much as the line function, we'll put that aside. When it comes to support services, you are splitting support services. Instead of splitting support services into 50-50 for two departments to start, it was 30-70. So that's where the problem started. So all the funding that we had was to say, guys, we need to build support services. We need to have people in HR. We need to have people in finance. We started with a CFO at the deputy director level because we just did not have money. So it's those kinds of things that have been building. So I'm saying the issue of the baseline, that's where the problem started, that we were not given the right baseline to start with in the first place. We went even further. We came back, all of us came back from leave. Support services with Mr. Mguin, myself, were there with the team right through Christmas dealing with the figures. We went back, we said the structure that we had presented to DPSA at the time to say this is how we foresee the new Department of Energy, and they agreed on that. We couldn't implement it, so we had to go back and say, let's talk about critical positions. What do we have in terms of our capacity? What do we need? Up to today, that infrastructure is not fully funded. Even the infrastructure, never mind about the one that is, even the infrastructure, it's not fully funded. So we're sitting in a situation now where we are actually playing around with that to say, okay, what is important today? Okay, let's do this one. What is important tomorrow? Let's do that. And it's not the right way of planning. It's just not the right way of planning because we constantly have to change our plan. When we started DOE, the country's focus on clean energy was not as much as it is today. The country's focus on nuclear was not as it is today. The blackout that just happened in 2008, we had to deal with that, but they are still continuing. Now we've got the liquid fuel challenges that we've got. We did not have that then. So we need to capacitate line function for them to be able to do the job. Because when we split, we did not do anything to line function, just took it as it is from DME and said, you are now DOE, end of the story. But now the mandate that is increasing within the department, which line function is supposed to be carrying forward, it's not being funded because we don't have people to do that. That is just basically my concern is that you cannot split something that is not there. Beef it up, then you split. And you know what you're doing. They should have beefed up all these areas and then they split up. Now they didn't. Even if they had done the 37, it's fine, but on condition that everything was beefed up enough to be split. But unfortunately it did not happen. So for Treasury now to increase our baseline, that's where the fight is. Because they don't want to do that. That's not how they do things. So it's definitely check up in
on what's the deadline on that? Because at times you can make statements and talk on that, but the time when you engage National Treasury, they will say, no, the muscles will get out of the state, you know, next year or next financial year's budget. One of the members, I challenge you to pronounce it, because if you were to do anything around that, you know, we should do it within the deadline. If we are convinced that we as a committee, we need to contribute to this matter. I mean, we can't just sit here and allow a fund that you are factually correct and then on subsequent, when you go, where's the starting point, whichever process and procedure is correct, to the committee for appropriations. But I'm just, you know, provoking that both yourself and the secretary, whether you comment now or later, within which time period should we ensure that we engage with the relevant structures to highlight, you know, our concerns on this matter. So not carry on. I just wanted to speak on that matter, you know, without forgetting.
Yeah. No, the Singapore will be able to give you the time frame on the process. The other issue that the only question was asked was the issue of NELT. NELT was formed after the 2008 blackout, and their main job, I think EDI at that stage was tasked with the monitoring or the oversight of the program. Their main job of NELT was to look at the 2008 blackout challenges that we had. That's what the job they were doing. They went through to look at the challenges within the municipalities, where is our challenges, are we not able to produce enough electricity for the country, or the challenges are we not able to transport the electricity from generation to the consumers, or whatever that issue was. So this was partly the role that was done by the NERC. And unfortunately, that time as the Department of Minerals and Energy, we still had funds. So the commitment for that exercise was within the department, and it was the Department of Minerals and Energy which had to fund that process. So during that process, when people were working, the consultants were working on the project together with EDI, that's when the department split. So the cost allocated to the consultants that were employed for the process unfortunately shifted into DOE because it was an electricity issue. It couldn't go to DOE. So it's one of the packages that we came with from the DME environment to complete the process of NERC. The briefing on the African Energy Ministers Conference, yes, that's fine. Once the committee is ready, we will come and present that. And then on the issue of the CETAs, yes, when the committee is ready, we'll come and present that. On the issue of the pipelines, Mr. Mkhize, that you must be aware of, on what she's directed, I don't think he's missing any more this day because the DG is on his case on the issue of saying that thing must move. So we're doing the best we can in the department to push, especially in terms of our interest in the whole. It's a big project. We've only got $4.5 billion just a fraction of what it's going to cost. but in terms of our involvement and our responsibility or the DG's responsibility as the accounting officer on the money that he transfers, we need to know where it's going and it needs to be involved in a process going forward. So we are trying very hard to make sure that every department's contribution, our responsibilities are being catered in terms of that. I think that's all, except the issue of the planning. Thanks, Chair. I will engage with the secretary of the committee and start on those things. I will come back tomorrow.
Yeah, please, work on some of that, you know. I mean, if we have something special, whether it's just a few members, you know, let's not just keep on lamenting and complaining. If we are to be defeated, let's get defeated every quarter. You know, some things just work. We need to conduct oversight. We've got to work as a team. Make sure that we do contribute. That's a formidable, you know, institution that drives energy. If it has been, it's established now, so let's make sure that it works together with the resources. Honorable Deputy.
Yeah, Chair, that's why I was raising the question I asked before about what can we do. See, I think, I don't know, the other parties will have to speak, but I don't think there would be anybody seriously who could not say that this situation has to be reviewed. It can't go on like this. Now, I think, Chair, we have the power to call the National Treasury here. I think we should ask them to come and explain to us what is going on in their heads. I mean, it's one thing to have rules and regulations, but you know, sometimes when you follow that to the letter, it becomes stupid. And the strategic priorities for the country are far more important in this sector than complying with some Treasury regulation. If the Treasury regulation is an impediment to the Department of Energy fulfilling its mandate, then there's something wrong. So, you know, I think they should come here and talk to us. We've now got a sense of these things, and then we must tell them that as this committee, we strongly advise them to reconsider what they're doing. Otherwise, we'll have to speak out and point out to the country that when there's a blackout next time, they mustn't blame the Department of Energy. They must blame the National Treasury. Or when there's a problem and we can't get the kind of delivery that we want to in terms of these targets. Because it can't be right that you have a situation which is so obviously affecting the performance. Because now we can't even hold the department to account. We can't say to them, why didn't you do X, Y, or Z? You know, we can't say to them, how can you say to them if you're not given the money to fulfill your objectives that the problem is management or leadership in the department? All along we've been saying those things. That, you know, I've been one of the most critical people. But now when you consider it, it's possibly the case that those problems result from this, you know, this big stumbling block in terms of what the department does. So I would strongly propose, Chair, that we bring them here.
Yes, definitely. This is a tough work for us, because it's also once again, if you look at our recommendations, you know, the budget review. We've stated that it may appear that as a one-off meeting, but it might be, it will be a process. Hence, because we need to give us such things, you know, as soon as possible, so that we get cracking on it. You know, you've got to, Mamazungu, shop once again. I've said this both formally and informally. You've got to put your ducks in a row. You've got to give us all the relevant respect. And bear in mind, remember, I think we're here at the civil service once again, when we asked the Attorney General of the Office, because they said a different story. They said the 76% split was negotiated.
Yes.
You checked them. Mm-hmm. They said it was negotiated. Mm-hmm. But you sure you'll understand why I keep on happy with you. And you are saying, you know, dust was in the air. Now, how can people have you know, different views of the same thing? Anything
Oh, we still have another item as well. However, I'd like us just to also raise as part of budget review, we need to also have to evolve a general approach in this particular, not just to ask questions. I hope the government will appreciate that also with sort of money that patents that come out of the expenditure run out of that. As a general approach of how we handle them as a committee. We can't just come and have and ask questions and get answers the same on the front. We monitor that. You know, amongst other things, as I was just looking at the presentation and also the responses to some of the questions, it appears that you have to be quite helpful on certain areas such as projection. You know, definitely in future you have to help us with projection every time. You know, it may not be that mechanical, you know, but you need to be helpful. I mean, you don't have to spend the first quarter, the quarter of the budget. For the tenth, you know, you can spend 10% of a certain category, only find that 90% is spent on the first quarter and properly too. You know, but we need to be schooled around that. You know. So the issue of projection must come out every second 32 expenditure report and leave this. Not the full detail as you would be doing it as scholars and what elaborate. Unfunded items, it would be helpful that we keep on referring to them as a matter of regular practice. No transfers done, we would like to see that coming up regularly with reasons stated why were transfers not done. And also critical items, because you made reference to critical items, you know. At quarterly expenditure level, we really would like to, you know, keep on checking which ones are critical items, how well we handle them, you know, at least in that field. That is the case on the members, and I think we should move now to the next item, which is the public participation program. But just with a closing note that we are formally today have triggered phase one of the budget review cycle. Fine. We should have, I'm sure not that we should have also received the MIT presentation from the MIT your strategic review. However, when I compared with the minister, she pleaded. By now, by now you wouldn't have been able to bring something on the different studies. So please leave with the secretary so that you know at what stage can you present that. We really would like to close this year having seen that it's part of the budget review cycle. So formally today, we have triggered, you know, 5 days. Thanks very much for that. Can you then move over to the public participation program? I saw a little bit of an extra, shouldn't be that thing. So that will rekindle our level of concentration. That's a 5 minute break. Thank you.
You can take it.